So our Bibles, Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. How many of you have ever fallen down? Raise your hand, let me see it. All right, how many of you have fallen down as an adult? Raise your hand. All right, most of us have. It's a weird feeling to fall down when you haven't fallen down in a while. It's like, what in the world just happened? A few years ago, my wife and I were taking my brother home. At that time, he lived over on Wilson Avenue, and we were having a conversation and parked across the street from where his house was, and he got out and closed the door. And usually when I drop somebody off, just out of habit, I'll make sure they get in the house okay. And he gets out, and my wife and I are having a conversation, and I look around. I don't see him. I'm like, well, he must have run around the back of the house and got inside, so we just took off. And maybe a minute later, I get a phone call, and it's Chris. I'm like, okay, maybe he forgot something. I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, did you not see me? Like, what are you talking about? He said, when I went to step around the back of your car, I stepped on some ice, and I fell down in the middle of the street. You just took off and left me there. Man, I didn't see you. I was having a conversation, like, not expecting my grown brother to fall down in the middle of the street and not be able to take care of himself. So I was laughing at him, making fun of him. A couple days later, I was making my way across the street to my house, and I always run across the street. So, and I'm pretty fast, so I don't really pay that much attention to how close the cars are. I can judge pretty quickly if I can make it across or not. And so I go to run across the street. There are cars coming, but they're a little ways away. And I step out in the middle of the street, and my feet go straight up in the air. And within a second, I'm laying flat on my back. And I had that thought, like, what in the world just happened to me? What is going on? And then another thought flashed through my mind. There's cars coming. Get up, get out of the road. And but that was very quick turnaround for making fun of my brother for falling around in the middle of the street, almost getting killed, and then I almost got run over. So ice can be kind of dangerous, and relationships sometimes can be a little dangerous as well. And it is important for us to take the right steps in our relationships. If we're not careful, we can fall down in our relationships. And so last week we spent some time talking about the blame game and how important it is for us to take ownership of when we do wrong against somebody. And we practiced saying two words last week, and I want to practice them again. So I want you to read these words and let's practice them together on the count of three. One, two, three. I'm sorry. And then we just end there. Okay, no, I'm sorry, but, or I'm sorry you feel. It's just, I'm sorry. Let's not put the blame on anybody else for what we've done. Okay, let's take ownership of it. We all fail, we all make mistakes, and yes, they might vary in degree, they might vary in repercussions, but we are all human. So nobody made us do that. You know, going back to Adam, God questioned Adam, why'd you do it? He said, the wife you gave me. So see how he did that? He blamed Eve, and then he blamed God. Because God, you're the one that made her, and you're the one that gave her to me. And that's pretty much every husband's favorite excuse, isn't it? God, the wife you gave me. And so let's not play the blame game. God goes to Eve, and Eve says, the serpent, she's basically doing the same thing. The serpent you created. Okay, so she's blaming the serpent. She's blaming God. And we all like to blame everybody else for our problems. Okay, it's Mother's Day. Mother might be the favorite blame in all of history. It's my mother's fault that I am the way that I am. No. Stop blaming somebody else for your own choices. No parent is perfect. No person is perfect. You are responsible for the choices you make. I'm responsible for the choices I make, no matter what kind of upbringing and childhood and environment and anything else. We need to own it. And if you want to play the blame game, it's not going to be long before you're going to fall flat on your back in your relationship. And so here this morning, we want to look at a couple things. We did talk about some favorite games last week. And one thing about those games that we talked about is all the games have at least one winner, if not more, and they all have losers. So there's winners and losers. Now, how do we know who the winners are and who the losers are in those games? How do we know?
Points.
Okay, points. Good. Okay, they might get there first. Did the best, Cameron?
The
most cards or whatever? All right. All those are true. And we want to boil that down to just one thing, and that is keeping score. So some way, shape, or form, we're keeping score. Whether it's the amount of moves we have to make or whatever else, we're keeping score. How many of you are the official scorekeeper when you play games? Who's the official scorekeeper? All right. So we've got some in here. Now, these are my in-laws, or as they are in my phone, they are my outlaws. And my father-in-law is not here, so I can be nice for a moment. But none of you can tell him that I'm about to say this. I have been blessed with an awesome father-in-law. I could not have been asked for a better man to be my father-in-law. I love him to death like he is my own father. So, but don't tell him I said that, because it could complicate things. Never hear the end of it from him. But when our schedules allow, because my schedule's pretty crazy, his schedule's pretty crazy, he's on the road a lot and travels because of his work. So, when our schedules allow us to, we like to get together and play cards, just the four of us. So we have a good time. And the game that me and my father-in-law like to play is the game called 500. And I'm the one who always keeps score. And me and my father-in-law like to be on the same team because we both want to win. And my wife and her mother, they don't really care. So it works out great. And I think I've rubbed off on my father-in-law a little bit because, as some of you know, when I came into the family, they didn't keep score. They just kind of helped each other, and it was all, let's just have fun, everybody's a winner, you know, this trash, garbage, modern parenting stuff. You may not keep score at the soccer game officially, but we all know who won that game. We're all keeping score, so I think I've kind of rubbed off on him a little bit because he likes to win. And I'm sure he was always that way. Maybe he just toned it down for the rest of his family. But when we win, we both make sure, like, they know it. We won. And on the rare occasion that we don't win, as the scorekeeper, we just quietly start a new game without saying anything. So, but keeping score in some instances is a great thing. In a relationship, it's a horrible thing. Keeping score in a relationship is another one of those things, just like the blame game, that will cause you to fall flat on your back in your relationship and can cause a number of problems. Look at Matthew 18. Look at a couple of verses here, and then we'll have a word of prayer together. Verse number 21 says, "Then came Peter to Jesus and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. And Lord, we do thank you for our mothers that you've given to us. What a blessing that they are. And Lord, we learn so many things from them. And I pray that you'd bless all the mothers today, both here and in a lot of other places, Lord, worshiping you and being with family. And pray that they would have a great day today and feel honored and appreciated. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to honor the women in our life more than just one day a year. but it be something that would be on our hearts and our minds on a regular basis for the many things that they do for us. And Lord, a mother's love, as great as it is nothing compared to the love that you have for each and every one of us. And Lord, there may be some here today, they've never really known and experienced a mother's love in the right way. But Lord, they can know and experience your love, which is far greater. And I pray that as we spend some time looking into your word, that you would challenge our hearts. If there's somebody here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day they'd stop trusting in other things and they would trust in Jesus and his sacrifice to save them from their sins. And Lord, as we talk about forgiveness, I pray that you'd challenge each of us in two areas. Lord, first of all, some of us need to forgive ourselves. Lord, we hold on to our own mistakes and our own failures, but Lord, you've told us that if we turn those things over to you, then you forgive them and you wash us clean. And Lord, we need to let those things go and forget those things which are behind and reach forward to the things that are before. And Lord, we need to be willing to forgive others as well. Lord, some of us, we need to forgive maybe a mother or a father for some mistakes that they've made in the past. And Lord, some of us might need to forgive some children. They might need to forgive a spouse, a sibling, a family member, a co-worker, someone else, Lord, that's done something against us. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring those things to our heart right now that we need to forgive and let go. We're asking you to do what only you can do today, and that is reach down into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're talking about keeping score. If you want to kind of slip up in your relationship and bring it down, that's a surefire way to do it. And we spend some time here in verses 21 and 22, and Peter's asking a question about forgiveness. And I'm kind of curious, what's the craziest thing that you've ever had to ask forgiveness for? You had to say, you know what, I'm sorry because of such and such. Now, I want to throw this disclaimer out there. We're not trying to start fights this morning. So if you want to share, be careful what you share. But what's the all-time craziest thing you've ever had to ask forgiveness for? Does anybody have anything? Cameron. All right, cutting in line maybe. All right, somebody else. Crazy thing you had to ask forgiveness for. Or maybe everybody's in here is like, I don't ask forgiveness for anything. Caleb, do you have something? All right, you might accidentally bump into somebody. Maybe you knock them over. Now, I showed you a picture of my in-laws. I want to show you a picture of my wife for a second. Now, for those of you that are guests, this is my wife, Lysandra. And you met her just a moment ago and all prim and all proper and everything else. You can keep that up there. I'll let you know when to turn it. Thanks. So, one of the things you have to know about my wife. Now, this was yesterday at our mother-daughter luncheon. So, I want to encourage you to be here next year for it. It'll be a help and a blessing to you, and you never know what's going to happen. My wife did, and others did, a great skit about the many hats that mothers wear. So, in case you're wondering, she's not like trying to be Michael Jackson or something else in here. But she is kind of crazy. Now, just a minute. Hear me out. Okay, exhibit A, she married me. Okay, so there's no argument about there. Now, I do plenty of things that I need to ask for forgiveness for, okay? But there is a place that I draw the line. Now, my wife is a morning person. She wakes up. She's happy. She's cheerful. She's floating all over the place. That's not how I wake up. But that's the way she normally is. And one morning, she wakes up, and I notice She's very cold to me. She's upset. And so I do what I can do in my little man brain. All right, all of us men have done it. So we're sitting, we're trying to calculate and formulate. We're going through all the things we've ever said, all the things I've ever done, trying to figure out, what is it this time? Because we all do it. Like, I don't think she even knows about that, so it can't be that. And I already, that's not really a big deal. And I've already asked for forgiveness for this. So what is it this time? And I can't figure it out. I have a hard time remembering things anyway, so it was a very short replay. So finally, I just went up to her and I said, it appears to me, see, you got to be careful how you approach this, because you can't just come right out and say you're being crazy. Like, that will escalate things very quickly. So it goes from like 2 to 10 very quickly at that point. So you want to be very careful about it. So it appears to me that maybe you're a little upset this morning. You know, what's wrong? How can I help you? I want to be the loving, supporting husband. And so she then relates to me this dream that she had. And I was in the dream. So first of all, gentlemen, if she tells you you're the man of her dreams, that's not always a good thing. So she relates this dream to me, and in the dream, and I'm not going to go into details what it was, but Dream Thomas said some things and did some things that she didn't like. So she wakes up and she's mad at me. So not only do I have to ask for forgiveness for things I actually do and say in real life, now I've got to apologize for things like Dream Me is doing. I'm like, this is insane. How can I ever stay on top? You guys, it's hard, man. Pregnant. She's blaming it on pregnancy. Yeah. See? Blame game. Sibidae. God, it was the children that you gave to me. That's what she's saying. So, anyways, I've literally had to apologize for things that Dream Me has done. I will allow you to take the beautiful picture off there for my wife's sake. Not even sorry. So, notice verse 21, though. Okay, so, verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? So just like we talked about last week, people will hurt us. You are going to hurt other people. That's the way life works. So it doesn't matter what the relationship is. It could be a husband and wife relationship. It could be parents and children. It could be any friendship or anything like that. Any coworker, any relationship you have with somebody else. You are going to say things to hurt people. You're going to do things to hurt people. And they are going to say and do the same to you. That's called being human. So we all do things like that. Sometimes the dream us does things to different people. So, Peter asks a question here. He says, Lord, if somebody does something wrong to us, okay, when he says that they sin against me, it's that they've done something wrong to us. Could be verbal. It could be something that they've done with their actions. You know, what do we do? See, this is where the scorekeeping begins. We've been sinned against. They said this. They did this. And that's exactly what Peter's talking about. Peter is keeping score. And we often do the same thing. We kind of tally things up. And every time somebody says something hurtful to us, we put another tally mark down. Every time somebody does something, we add a point to the score. And so Peter says, how high should I let the score get? And now his number's 7. And I think that's a pretty high number, really, when you think about forgiveness. Because what he's talking about here is he's not saying that one person is doing 7 different things to me. He's saying one person is doing one thing to us 7 times. Now, that's tough to deal with because we all have a saying, right? Let me see if you can finish this saying. 3 strikes and you are... Right, exactly. And 3's even tough. Like, I think it's tough when Jesus said, turn the other cheek. I mean, that's just twice. So Peter's really, he's up in where the limit is. He's saying, should we keep score up to 7? And I don't know about you, but if somebody does something to me, the same thing seven times, I don't know if I can let it get to seven even before I might lose it. Seven times, that's quite a bit. Some of us are one strike and you're out, people. Like you say one thing I don't like and that's it. You say, you do one thing to hurt me or somebody else and that's it. And that's not a great reaction either. So Jesus, notice his response in verse number 22. So Peter has said, hey, how often can somebody do something against us and we still have to forgive? He says seven times. Jesus saith unto him in verse 22, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So Jesus says, forgive somebody when they do something to you, not just seven times, but 70 times seven. So for all of our math majors out there, what's 70 times seven? Good, 490. So I think maybe three's a lot. Seven's definitely a lot. Jesus said 490 times. I don't know about you, but I'd run out of paper real fast. Jesus is not saying to keep score. The point he's trying to make is don't keep score. See, what Peter's doing is he's keeping score because he's like, all right, if somebody does the same thing seven times, that's pretty easy to keep track of. I've got enough fingers for that, plus some. So I can keep track of that very easily, seven. And I think I'd be a pretty good person if I could forgive somebody seven times for the same thing. That's pretty hard to do. But see, Peter's all about keeping score. And what Jesus is teaching is not just count up the same thing until you get to 490, and then on 491, you don't have to forgive anymore. That's not at all what he's saying. What Jesus is trying to teach us is that we need to live life like my in-laws play games. Don't keep score. Don't keep score. Jesus then goes on to tell a story in verses 23 to 35. Now, we won't take time to read all those verses. I want you later to take time to read all those verses. So he begins to tell this story to teach us something about forgiveness. So in the story, there's a servant who owes an unpayable amount to his master. We could liken it to millions and billions of dollars. Most of us will never see that much in our entire lives, even accumulated. From the time that we were born till the time we die, most of us won't see that much money. Never mind be able to pay that much of a debt off. And so as the master brings in this servant who owes him this great debt, the servant says, hey, can you just give me time? Give me time and I'll pay off every single cent that I owe you, which is impossible. But he doesn't even ask to be forgiven, which I find is quite interesting. He just says, hey, give me some more time. And so the master, he has compassion. And rather than just giving him time to make payments, he says, we're going to wipe the debt away. See, that's what forgiveness really is. It means letting go of the debt. No longer holding somebody accountable for what they have said and for what they've done to us. We're just going to, as it says in Frozen, let it go. You're welcome, because now you're going to be singing that song for a while. Frozen 2 is coming out, so the next thing's coming. But letting it go. Letting go of the hurt, letting go of the wrong. And so here this master erases the debt of a servant who owes him an immense amount of money. Now you have this servant who's been forgiven. The debt's been erased and it's been canceled. He goes to another servant who owes him a couple of dollars and says, hey, you owe me some money. And that servant who owes him a couple of dollars, he has the same response. He says, hey, can you just give me time? I will pay it. And it was a payable debt. over enough time. He could have paid the debt off. But rather than being gracious and being forgiven, being forgiving as he was forgiven, it says he grabs him by the throat and demands the money. He's going to throw this guy in prison until he's paid him every last cent. And man, you see the difference. Forgiven so much, not willing to forgive even a little. And we get to verse number 35. And it tells us this. The master then found out about it. And that servant he forgave, he threw him in prison and said, "You're going to pay me every last cent." In other words, that servant was going to be there until the day he died. Verse 35 says this. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." And what Jesus does is he uses a story to illustrate something he had already said. In what's called the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, he says this, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses," that means their sins, their wrongdoings, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses," their sins, their wrongdoings, "neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So notice what Jesus had already taught. He said, if you are willing to forgive, then God is willing to forgive you. But if you will not forgive others for what they've done to you, for what they've said to you, then God will not forgive you. And so here we have this servant that was forgiven so much, but he was not willing to forgive even the smallest thing. And so what happened is he says, "Hey, if you're not going to forgive, then I'm not going to forgive." And the same is true for each and every one of us. Every single one of us has done wrong against God. That's what the word sin means. We've all wronged God. And because of that, every single one of us deserves an eternity in the lake of fire. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve because of your wrongdoing. But God loves you. God loves me, and He is willing to forgive if we'll trust in Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Every wrong we've ever done can be forgiven, can be erased. We can have a brand new start. And I'm thankful for a God who doesn't hold every little thing against us, that when we want forgiveness, we can have forgiveness. If I want a fresh start, I can have a fresh start. And the mistakes of the past don't have to be my future. And He's willing to forgive everything that we've ever done against Him. And how sad is it when we're not willing to forgive the people around us? And He makes a comparison. He says, if you pile up everything that you've ever done against God, that adds up to the billions and billions that this servant owed that master. And if you add up everything that everybody's ever done against you, that's the few dollars that that servant had against the other servant. Now, one thing you never find in Scripture, Jesus does not make light of the hurts and the harms that people do against us. Okay, and I'm not either. Some of you have been horribly wronged by other people, sexually abused and violated, and such horrible things that have happened in your life. I'm not downplaying that one bit. I'm saying when you compare what everyone else has done against you and what you've done against God, what I've done against God, there is no comparison. Horrible things, yes. But we've done far worse to a perfect, almighty God. And yet He's willing to forgive us everything. He says, you need to be willing. I need to be willing to forgive those who have done hurt to us. This is Mother's Day, and I know for many it's a very sensitive day, very sensitive time of year, because some of your mothers maybe didn't treat you the best. Maybe they have wronged you. They have hurt you. Some of you have had your children do horrible things to you, and I know that can be a painful thing. But Jesus said, if you're going to be a follower of mine, you need to learn to forgive. If you want to be forgiven, which we all want to be forgiven, Because we've all wronged somebody else. We've all wronged others. We've all wronged God. We want forgiveness. He says, if you want forgiveness, you have to be willing to forgive. You cannot have one without the other. You can't have forgiveness if you're not willing to forgive. And in Colossians 3:13, the Apostle Paul says this, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against, what's that next word?
Any.
He says, if you've got something against anybody, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So he says, just like Jesus Christ forgives you, you need to be willing to forgive them for what they've done. Just as Christ has given me the blessing of forgiveness, I need to give that blessing to those who have hurt and who have wronged me. He then describes the same thing and puts a little different spin on it. So we've seen we're supposed to forgive like Christ forgave us. Now look, Ephesians 4, verse number 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he says, not only are we to forgive like Christ forgives us, he says we're to forgive like God forgives us, which is completely. I'm so thankful that God does not keep an account of things to hold against us once we've sought out forgiveness. Unfortunately, we do that a lot of times. We keep score, and every time somebody says something, every time they do something, then we hold that thing against them. Your relationship is doomed if you keep score. There are no winners. Everybody loses in a relationship when you keep score. You lose, they lose, everybody loses. Your relationship will fall flat when you're not willing to forgive. Last week, we practiced saying two words. This week, I want to practice saying three words. Let's say this together. I forgive you. Let's try that one more time. I forgive you. I forgive you. Every single one of us ought to have that just kind of roll off our tongue. Just as we should say, I'm sorry, we need to be willing to say, I forgive you. And it's not based upon whether or not the person's sorry. See, sometimes we give forgiveness based upon somebody else. We give love based upon somebody else. That's not the way that Jesus loves. That's not the way he forgives. So it's not about if the person, well, if she's sorry, then I'll forgive. If they're sorry and they change, then I'll forgive. No, it's just I forgive you. Just canceling the debt, just setting them free. Shouldn't use the past hurt as future weapons against people. Stop keeping score.